Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another episode of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, April the 12th, as we are coming off a long night of Phillies baseball, but a long night that proved worth it, as we can finally say the Phillies, ladies and gentlemen, are over 500 as they win by a score of 4-3 over the Reds in 12 innings of baseball. Scott Kingery with the walk-off. We will break down the entire game as the Phillies again move to 6-5 on the season. Over 500 for the first time in the Gabe Kapler era. Happy for Kapler after all the crap he took over the last week and a half. And I'm sure there will be people who will still rip him. But right now, it's hard to not give the guy his due. After battling back from a 1-5 start, now winning 5-6, taking 5-6 on this homestand here. Granted, you can make the argument, obviously, that not the stiffest of competition, the Reds and Marlins, two of the worst teams in baseball, and the Rays, the team they're about to face, which we'll talk about as well, also one of the worst teams in baseball. But you can only beat who you play, and these type of wins early in the season are good, especially good for a young team and building confidence in the manager, especially after a acrimonious type of start, whether they like it or not. There, it certainly was. So big win in my eyes for this team, sweeping the Reds at home before they head to Tampa Bay. Let's break it down, as it was clearly the most exciting game of the season for the Phils so far. And again, the Phils now 2-0 in extra innings. So that's the type of stuff good teams do. And granted, there's a lot of luck involved in those types of numbers and all that, but it's good to see this team come through twice already in extra innings so far this season. But let's break the game down. Off night for Rhys Hoskins, who it looked like he needed an off night. He did pinch hit later and did not come through. So looked like he needed an off night. We'll get an off day today as the team is off before they head to Tampa for the weekend series. But no reason the lineup, the Phillies. Nick Pivetta on the hill taking on for the Reds, Luis Castillo, both terrific young arms. Castillo coming off a great season last year, had struggled coming into tonight's matchup and struggled early, but able to right the ship. He gives up two runs early in the second inning as Mr. J.P. Crawford hits his first major league home run, and let me tell you, it was a bomb. He hit that ball so hard. It was one of those ones where as soon as it hit the bat, you're like, well, that's out. Awesome to see. I'm happy for JP, who obviously has struggled so far this season, certainly from a consistency standpoint at the plate. Has played great defense, but struggled to hit consistently. We talked about his exit velocity being extremely low, not putting hard contact on the ball, but getting the big hit yesterday with the two-run homer, and also 2 days ago in the second game of the Red Series with the big hit to put the team up before the Kingery Grand Slam sealed it. And again, there would be some late-inning Scott Kingery heroics here, but the J.P. Crawford homer, huge, makes it 2-0. Could have been more than any if Billy Hamilton didn't make an outstanding catch. And then in the fourth, the Reds put up a couple against Nick Pivetta, and those were the only two he gave up, and really not a bad inning. Just he gave up two runs, but Pivetta, absolutely outstanding. 7 innings of work, 2 earned runs allowed, 5 hits, and the biggest number, 7 strikeouts to no walks. That is huge to see from Pivetta, who, yet again, a really dynamite outing from Pivetta. Listen, I think that a lot of people would agree that if Pivetta can find a way to fill that 3-hole in this rotation and be the guy who can, you know, back, get that third spot by Nola and Arrieta, it would be huge for this roster. And more so, you know, huge for this team team moving forward, because Pivetta, obviously a guy they have under contract for a while, and he's got the stuff. That's the thing about Pivetta. He's exciting to watch because he really can throw, and he really has some hit and miss stuff. So exciting to see early success. And look, I know that again, going back to the fact that he's had his two great outings against the Marlins and the Reds, two of the worst offenses in baseball, but it's still really good for a pitcher, a young pitcher especially, to gain confidence. Confidence is so important in pitching, and I think this can only help Pivetta moving down the road, no matter who he's facing, even if it's a bad team, to get these strong outings and these positive performances. The Phillies get the lead back, going back to the game chronology as it plays out here in the fifth inning, after that fourth inning where Pivetta gives up a couple again, outstanding otherwise. Cesar Hernandez goes yard. It's a solo shot in the fifth to make it 3-2. Cesar has been just outstanding. It's really hard to understate the value that Cesar has brought this team and the development he's had over the last few years. I don't think there were a lot of people who thought Cesar would be the type of valuable asset that he is. I'm included in that. I certainly didn't think he was going to end up being quite as good as he is. He's a legit 300 hitter potentially. Like, he's that type of guy, and he's certainly a 350, 360, 370 on base percentage guy, as he's shown. That is an incredible asset to have, and someone who I hadn't always factored into the long-term plans. I always thought he was someone they could maybe trade down the road, but I've certainly changed my tune. I think Cesar is certainly a guy who could be a big piece on a good team. So I'm excited about Cesar, and certainly looked good with the solo shot last night. And moving forward, some huge defensive plays keep the Phillies in front. Scott Kingery in left field for Rhys Hoskins guns down a guy at the plate. Look, the throw not 100% on, but the power was there. And Alfaro with a nice tag getting back there. Speaking of Alfaro, He throws out Irvin, stealing later in the game on a terrific throw to Crawford that was just a huge play later. We'll get to that. But Alfaro's got an arm, man. And here's the thing. Everyone's worried about his defense. He's been much better lately. I've been very impressed with his defense of late. And, you know, Knapp starting the first few games, and it's pretty much been Alfaro since then. And he's really shown up both at the plate, looking more patient, but more so, I've been really impressed with him calling a game, his command back there. He's a lot of command back there, and dude has a cannon. We've talked about the 80-grade arm he had, you know, the scouting thing, but there are a few guys I've seen who can throw the ball like that. Back to the game, the Phillies leading 3-2 heading into the ninth inning. You're feeling good about it as Hector Neris comes into the game, and then, oh no. Not the best inning for Mr. Neris, as he gives up an earned run in the ninth. And look, it could have gotten worse. Here's the thing. Hector was able to work his way out of it. But just a rough inning. Allows two runners on base without getting any outs. The runners get moved over on a bunt attempt and ultimately allows a run to score. But then able to get out of it from there. So you know, look, it's hard to criticize. He had 21 straight save conversions completed prior to that, so you can't rip the guy. And again, it was impressive that he was able to get out of it, but it was kind of tough to watch Raisel Iglesias on the other side, Cincinnati's closer, and he pitched two dominant innings, and that dude is just awesome, and I would certainly take him over Neris as my closer. But look, give Hector a chance in the closing role, and either way, he's a really good pitcher. More so, the bullpen held it down after that as they went to extra innings, and the bullpen, a major reason they were able to hang on and win this game, is in order, Luis Garcia pitched an inning, Adubray Ramos pitched an inning, then Hobie Milder pitched two thirds of an inning, and Yaxel Rios comes in to pitch the last of the 12th and ends up getting the win. You love those one-out wins, but look good. All these guys came in and just pitched really well. They mowed down hitters. You know, only one runner allowed by Ramos. Garcia did a great job, and again, the Milner-Rios combo, a terrific job as well. As this Phillies bullpen You know, I know we had some issues early in the season, both with the way they were being used and the not being ready to be used, and also some of the results. But they've really clamped down, and especially without Tommy Hunter and Pat Neshek. I know this, I said this recently, but it really is impressive. It's impressive to see without the top two guys that they went out and got this offseason, how this group of guys who are, for the most part, pretty much all homegrown here, and Adam Morgan and Luis Garcia and Adubre Ramos and, you know, all these guys that we talk about, and obviously Neris and just the way they've put to come together. Victor Arano has been great when called upon. Yaxel Rios, not homegrown, but has been great when called upon. So very, very happy with the performance of this bullpen so far, as they really did a great job in extras keeping the Phils in this game. In extras, how about this, by the way? I said this a few days ago. Joey Votto finally singled against the shift. He just did a single the other way, a ground ball. I said a couple days ago at the beginning of this series on this very show, why can't a hitter as good as Joey Votto hit the ball to the left side of the field when the shift is just completely giving him the whole side of the field open? And it was interesting because Ben Davis and Tom McCarthy were talking about it tonight. And Ben Davis was like, it's like, you know, teaching some sort of like a bear to live in a house. I don't remember what the exact analogy was, but something where it's like impossible. Like, you can't do it. And Tom McCarthy was like, I don't know. I'd always lean on the side of just learning it to the opposite field. And look, I didn't play in Major League Baseball, and Ben Davis does. And I usually agree with Ben Davis. I think he's absolutely terrific. I've said that on the show recently as well. But I'm totally with McCarthy here. I think, you know, you're a major league hitter. Find it. If you're getting played this way and you know this and you're going in saying they are giving me the entire side of the field, I think you find a way to change your approach in those situations to at least keep them more honest. And then you can swing away and do whatever. And maybe based on matchups, maybe it's a pitcher you don't feel good, you know, you're going to be able to take the opposite way or whatever. But I don't know. I think that's something. And look, Votto did it tonight. So I think that's something that I'm just surprised by more often than not. Also, by the way, in extra innings, that Odubel Herrera catch to save a Scooter Jeanette home run. And Scooter Jeanette will come back into play here, no pun intended, before the end of this discussion. And by the way, Scooter Jeanette has turned into a really good baseball player. That stat they showed yesterday is the stump the fans question was, who was the only player to have four grand slams and a four homer game in the same season? And that is Scooter Jeanette. That is crazy. And he's turned himself into a really good hitter. And like Ben Davis said last night, real good opposite field power, but in this case, hit it to right to center field, like almost dead center, left center-ish, if anything. And Jeanette, just a deep fly, and Odubel goes up over the fence and takes it away. Clear home run save. It seemed like there were a few of those. Billy Hamilton had one there. It seemed more often than not there were some great catches in the outfield in this game. So and then also in that inning, the Phillies come up to bat. This is the 10th inning, and the Reds go, excuse me, in the 10th inning, and the Phillies come up, and the Phillies get three walks in a row as Wandy was a little wild. Wandy Wild, we'll call him. But Jared Hughes sprints in, literally, from the bullpen. I'm not sure if you saw it, but just like comes in at like 100 miles an hour to pitch. Some of these bullpen guys do this. I'm a fan of it. I think it's funny, and it's aggressive, and you're a bullpen guy. I'm cool with it. But he comes in, and it works. He K's Kingery, even though we will hear from Kingery again as we move on to the 11th here. Alfaro and Crawford, a great defensive play. The Irvin steal I talked about before. For his Alfaro just with a cannon. It wasn't even one of his best throws, but Crawford, a great job of catching the ball, sliding to second base, and able to tag Irvin up in the arm, shoulder, head area and make the play, which was fun to see. And then you move on to the 12th. The bottom of the 12th is the Phillies are able to make it happen. Pedro Florman leads the inning off by hitting a scorcher right at the aforementioned Scooter Jeanette. Jeanette maybe rushing the play, whatever. I don't know why he was. It was hit so hard, but Florman was hustling down there and throws the ball away, just totally threw it away. After that, a J.P. Crawford bunt, a walk leads to Scott Kingery being up with a chance to walk it off with one out and runners on first and third facing the Reds. Austin Bryce on the hill, who looked great earlier in this series, and Kingery able to, after a 3-0 count, couple of strikes, and he just is able to fight one off in the right field, a deep, as they said on the telecast, a professional bat out to the outfield. Florimond is able to score easy, and the Phillies walk it off with the first walk-off win of the season, is the win in Atlanta in the 11th inning. Was in Atlanta, obviously. So Scott Kingery, in back-to-back days, his first grand slam, and then his first walk-off hit, or walk-off at bat, obviously a sac fly, not hit, but just awesome stuff from this Phillies team, as again to battle back from the adversity we saw early in the season, to play this well and really just stand up so strong in this homestand and win a lot of close games. This entire Red Series, even though, you know, they won yesterday by 5 runs, these were all really intense close games that, you know, they had to have some fortitude to pull out in the end, and it was really fun to watch. So coming up in just a sec, we will get into the Rays series coming up, a nice off day here needed, and also some other thoughts on the game and the Phillies in general as we move forward with a above 500 baseball team, the Phillies 6-5, heading in to the weekend's action. So we will get into all that coming up in just a second. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Don't go anywhere. We are back. It's Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, April the 12th. As we discuss a plus 500 Philadelphia Phillies baseball team, which is very exciting to talk about. The Phillies again at 6-5 after beating the Reds. 3 straight, winning 5 of 6 on this homestand against the Marlins and the Reds. Again, not the toughest of competition, but they're able to, they're able to make it happen and beat who they had to beat. And again, with the adversity of the 1-5 start and the Kapler hate everywhere, this team really battling and banding together. Fun to see, and I think could prove well for them down the road. A couple of thoughts before we look ahead to this Rays series. Just wanted to mention, Billy Hamilton, such an interesting player to watch, such a great defensive player, as we saw him make multiple terrific plays this series, especially that one tonight, where also another home run saver, but one where Cesar hit it, and the ball just kept carrying and carrying, and it looked like Hamilton couldn't get a read on it, and made a terrific play, banging his head against the wall, but hanging on to it. But it was just interesting to think about, and Tom McCarthy and Ben Davis talked about this a little bit, but the concept of a guy like Hamilton and what, how much he changes a game from a, you know, on the bases perspective, not just the fact that he can steal bases, but just the threat of the steal, the threat of what he does to pitchers. And they didn't really dive into it too much, but I think it's a fascinating thing in the sense that I think that we've gotten to the point where, and we always talk about market inefficiencies and all that, where I think base running and fast base running and aggressive base running is one of the things that a lot of analytics people are looking towards. You see that with the Phillies already. They've had more stolen base attempts in the first, you know, in the first 10 games or whatever, 11 games, than they did in the first 11 games in years. As they are running more, they have 11 guys who have a stolen base, I believe, already, or 9 out of 11 or something like that. So they've been running and they've been aggressive on the base pass, and that's proven for runs so far. And I think a guy like Billy Hamilton, as an example, makes such a big difference, because when he's on first base, not only can he steal second, can he steal third, but he's also making the pitcher so aware of him, and they have such an effect on changing the delivery, changing their approach to each batter. It's a massive thing, and I think you saw it whenever he was on base in this series. So I think it's interesting, especially because you look around baseball, and outside of him and Trey Turner and D. Gordon, there's no one else who's really that type of stolen base guy. And I just think it's a kind of a market inefficiency. There aren't a ton of them. I mean, you look at who led the AL in stolen bases last year. I'll give you a second. Stop and think. I'll give you a second. Pause this if you're listening to this on the replay on the podcast. But, take a second, and I'll tell you who still led the AL in stolen bases if you don't already know. Whit Merrifield. of the Kansas City Royals, the second baseman, had like 31 steals. Stolen bases have become somewhat of a lost art in a way, and they're just not utilized as much. So it was interesting to see a guy like Hamilton and see the havoc he can cause, and just thinking about a team like the Phillies that now is looking for every advantage they get, every bit of knowledge they get. I think it was interesting. Speaking of which, that was the one other thing I wanted to mention, and I heard it on WIP, and Gabe Kapler talked about it when he was talking to Angelo yesterday, the concept of how I think the word analytics can be scary for certain people in a way, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly what Kapler said, but somehow analytics has become a bit of a word that in and of itself it can turn people off, and I get that, but analytics is just and again, I know Kapler said this too, but it's just a way of saying information, a way of saying more data on what you're trying to discuss or do or talk about or employ or whatever. So I understand the initial gaffe at it or the word itself, but don't look at it as that. If you are someone who has struggled to accept analytics in the baseball, and look, I get it. I'm not someone who's, if you listen to this show, you know I'm not someone who's sitting here quoting F4 and WOBA and all these different insane stats. And I think some of them are great, and I think some of them are too much, or I don't know if they do anything or whatever it is, but I do think there is a value to some of these things, and I think it's silly to just, as a team, a Major League Baseball team, where you are looking for every advantage in a marketplace where every other team is looking for every advantage. Now, they're all smarter. It's every team has an Ivy League grad running them or someone who understands the way the sport is right now or whatever, and you have to keep up with that. So I think that, I think that if you are to, and I get it, I don't think that they should change, and I don't think they're changing the game in the way some people do, but I do think that it's something that's here to stay in the sport, and I don't know if it's worth the agita to get too upset about the numbers and whatnot, but I can understand how it could be too much and it could be overwhelming. And, you know, I was talking to my brother the other day, and, you know, he mentioned how, you know, I'm not a huge launch angle or exit velocity guy for hitters. And it's mostly because I don't know enough about it, because it's such a newer kind of stat that's kind of come on the scene, and I get the concept of both. But I'm learning what a good exit velocity is off a bat, and when you combine it with the launch angle data, that is predictive of success or whatever. And I love that. That's cool. I love that that's there, but it's a lot to take in. I still don't understand it enough to really talk intelligently about it. So I need to dive into that data and see how predictive it is and how great a stat it is, and or combo of stats, or however you want to say it. But I understand how it can be overwhelming as someone who loves these stats and loves just baseball. It's mostly from a love of baseball. I just love the sport, and thus I love to talk about anything related to it. But I get it. I just think that in terms of the team, I think it's good that this team is so invested in analytics and invested in finding more information and data and doing things differently and seeing what works, because I think ultimately we're seeing with the success of the Astros, with the success of the Dodgers, with the success of the Rays prior on a limited budget, with the success of these types of teams, it's, you know, the Cubs, the Red Sox before that with the Epstein. Analytics have become a really important part of being successful in this sport. So I'm happy to see that the Phillies are really becoming a leader in that. And I know not everybody is, but that's the way I feel, and I'm sticking to it. Coming up this weekend, the Phillies a much needed off day today, but coming up this weekend, and we'll dive into this a lot more tomorrow with some more time, but heading in to Tampa, looking right now like the pitching schedule will be Vincent Velasquez tomorrow against Jacob Faria. Faria, a pretty solid pitcher, had a really nice year last year, has not been quite as good this year, but has good stuff. Saturday is the real show, as Jake Arrieta will make his second start, taking on Chris Archer. That will be a fun one to watch if you've never watch Chris Archer pitch. That dude has some serious stuff, some serious movement. He is a blast to watch. And with Arrieta going on the other side, and some of the movement we saw in the second, third, and fourth innings he threw last outing, his first outing, could be one of those games where the pitchers really go at it and really try to out-duel each other. Could be a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, Ben Lively will be on the hill for the Phils. The Rays have not quite announced who will be on the hill for them yet, as they are going with the four-man rotation and then the bullpen game. So potentially the Phillies could get a bullpen game in that spot. Will be interesting to see how that all plays out. Again, not a offense to be scared of either, as you know, the best offensive players on their team are guys like Denard Span and Kevin Kiermaier and Wilson Ramos. So it's going to be fun. I think the Phillies have a good chance to head in there and take some more victories and win the series and stay above 500 and get this thing rolling. Exciting, exciting stuff as the Phillies walk it off. Scott Kingery walked it off last night. That's exciting stuff, guys. And it's fun to talk about a team that is compelling and exciting and plays so hard and is gritty and it's so easy to root for. So we'll be back to talk about this easy to root for above 500 team tomorrow, as they will stay above 500 without a game today. And we will look ahead to the Rays series and a whole lot more. So thank you for listening to Phillies Today. Again, we'll be back tomorrow right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.